In 2 Samuel chapter 5, some significant events take place in the life of David. First, he's finally, after so many years, anointed king over a unified Israel. One of his first acts is to relocate the capital city from Hebron, which is where he had been positioned there in Judah, north to a city that had been elusive for years and years and years, in fact, centuries, the city of what would become Jerusalem. So David goes in and he conquers the city and he makes Jerusalem his capital. It's quite a story. You can read about it. There's a shaft that gets down to a spring. Joab crawls his way up. No one thought you could conquer the city. And yet Joab slips in and he opens the gates and David completely routs the enemy. He takes it. He makes it his capital, the capital of Israel. And then he engages in these immediate building projects. They fortify the walls. There's infrastructure projects. This is the crown jewel now of David's unified empire. And you can imagine that during this season of life, these couple of years, as David is not just building enclaves and suburbs and a house for himself, but he's reflecting on all that God has done in his life. We're looking at Psalms that correlate to these different seasons of experience that David embarks upon, gaining insight into what's happening below the surface, down into his heart. I think there are two Psalms in particular that we can, safely say are likely from this time period. We'll start with Psalms chapter 2. So the second Psalm, it opens, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." David's thinking of this capital and his new unified empire and how the nations around would look, how they would feel threatened, how they would even be envious. He notes, and there's a messianic element to this, he says at the end of verse 2, against the Lord and against his anointed. Note there's two different things happening within this particular verse that's worthy of your theological attention. He says against the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, so that's Jehovah, the unspoken name of God, God Almighty, God, what we would say in a triune sense, the Father. But then he also references a secondary character against the Lord and against his anointed, capital A, anointed. Implying that Jehovah, God, would have his anointed on the throne, speaking of precursor, foreshadowing to the reign of Jesus. Verse 4, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision," speaking of the enemies of Israel. "Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you." Again, all this is messianic, foreshadowing a millennial reign. David establishing this city, the city of Jerusalem, but seeing how it would play out in future times for the purposes of God and the ultimate son of David, that being Jesus. "Ask of me," verse 8, "and I will give you the nations of your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him." We land on just the simple application. Blessed, happy, delighted, blessed are those who put their trust in Jesus. Are you one of those that put your trust in Jesus, or has all the cares of this world and all the things that produce natural anxiety and worry robbed you of that joy you're to have in the Lord? Is God in control and does Jesus love you? Then what do you have to worry? Trust in the Lord, and the person that trusts in the Lord, they're a blessed person. Their life is blessed. That doesn't mean you have a lot of money. It doesn't mean perpetual happiness. It's speaking to something much deeper than just happiness, joy. a state of being. Blessed are those who put their trust in the Lord. The other thing we take away from this particular psalm, you know, in light of the context of all these things, is this is a great example of how David fulfills two of the three offices that God had established for the people of Israel. There was the role of priest, and the priest would represent the people there in his work at the tabernacle before God. David was not to be a priest. No king was to be a priest. David is crowned king, which means that he is the physical representation, the extension of God's authority now within God's people. He sits on God's throne and he reigns on God's behalf. But this is a great example of David fulfilling a role that is quite comprehensive in his ministry, and that is the role of prophet. For David will prophetically, through the Psalms, write, see, foretell of the coming of Jesus, the promised Savior. And this is a great example of how David, in his own experiences there in Jerusalem, is seeing things into the future, and it's coming out in song, which is such a beautiful thing. There's a scene in this latest season of The Chosen, this Amazon Prime series dealing with the life of Jesus. This last season deals with the final week of Jesus' life, what we call the week of Passion, starting with the triumphal entry, concluding with his crucifixion and then ultimately resurrection. But there's a particular scene where Jesus sneaks back into the city of Jerusalem and he goes to the temple on his own. There's no one else with him. He's scoping out what's happening in the outer courtyards and he's disgusted by it. He's going to address that come daylight. But as he's looking at Jerusalem and he's seeing the majesty of the temple and the beauty and the splendor, there's these immediate flash forwards, some 40 years, where he's seeing the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus will say, he'll weep over the city, saying that not one stone would be left upon another. And it's kind of in that sense that as Dave is looking over Jerusalem, he's not seeing that, but he's seeing the end of things, how this city that he had conquered and instituted would be used for the purposes of God. I mentioned that related to this season of David's life. There were two different psalms, Psalms 2, but also I think Psalms 122. Again, we can't say specifically for certain, and yet I think you'll get the idea. This fits within the collection known as the Psalms of Ascent. This is attributed directly to David. It's titled The Joy of Going to the House of the Lord. And so we can see how this would be relevant. He begins, he says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." You know, David had such a vision for what he wanted the city to be, what he wanted it to be for himself, a capital, what he wanted it to be for the nation, a stronghold, that it would be a place of the centralization of political power. But David saw Jerusalem as a city of peace, that it would be also not just a political center, but it would possess like the religious heartbeat. David had the intention of to bring the ark to Jerusalem, that he wanted to build a temple that would be left for Solomon. But David wanted everything centralized into this very special place of real estate. "Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. And man, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, it doesn't take up a very large footprint. It is dense, highly populated, but you have people on top of people on top of people. And it was that way even back in Jesus's time, and probably going back even further in David's time. Again, David, it was a necessity for him to build out the city to create more and more space and more room there in the city itself. Come Jesus's time, during Passover, the city would swell 2 million people. It's hard to even conceptualize that many people there in Jerusalem. But he says Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. You know, in a city that's compact, that's my greatest nightmare, by the way. I need space. I need lots of space. My first house, I was too close to the neighbors on each side, and I built, my brothers laughed, they called it the Great Wall of Snellville. It was like a 10-foot wooden fence on one side, because I didn't want my neighbors to see into my backyard. I wanted a measure of privacy. Moving out to the country, we've got plenty of it. But again, cities are compact. People are living shoulder to shoulder. The idea here is that it's a city of community where the tribes of Israel go up, where they'll congregate, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Again, Jerusalem, this religious, this political a capital for Israel. And then there's this exhortation, which echoes throughout the centuries, even down into today. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which is such an interesting idea. Jerusalem is the city of peace, and yet David is saying, pray for the peace of the city of peace, and how there would not be much peace within that particular city, even as of today. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. It's just a very powerful little song. Again, keep in mind, all of these psalms were songs, poetic, written in a different type of rhythm and beat, unique to Semitic languages. And yet there was musical accompaniment. How cool in a future day for us to be able to hear David sing the songs that he wrote. Again, these are the Psalms of Histories that correlate with our Harmony of the Histories series. We had been looking at, again, 2 Samuel chapter 5, David becoming king, taking Jerusalem to be the capital city. And these two Psalms, Psalms 2, Psalms 122, maybe a reflection of what was going on in his heart during that season. If you enjoyed these studies, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. And you can get not only all of these Psalms, but you can get the Bible studies that they connect back to. God bless.